The small business bailout starts tomorrow. Are we ready? It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the second day of April. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Remember hearing about the mortgage and credit card relief plan? Not so fast. Oops, the landlord letter that sparked a rent strike. The auto industry is seeing a major slump in sales. Amazon to begin taking temperatures of workers and handing out masks. The markets closed up today, even as 6.6 million Americans filed for unemployment. And it's now official, and from the Fed as they utter the R word. The business news is just ahead.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, for that introduction, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, and yes, you can reach out to us on Twitter. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, starting tomorrow, thousands of financial institutions across the country are preparing to dole out $349 billion in government-backed loans and grants. This in just 1 week after they were created as part of the $2.3 trillion fiscal stimulus bill. The brand new Paycheck Protection Program, aimed at keeping large swaths of Main Street afloat as the coronavirus pandemic spreads, enlists the U.S. Treasury, the Small Business Administration, and many of the country's financial institutions in an effort that economists say is crucial to keeping the United States from plunging into a deep, deep downturn. It also throws the nearly 67-year-old Small Business Administration into a higher profile role than ever before, and one that some lenders worry it could struggle to fill. The rescue package amounts to a giant expansion of activity for the 3,300 people who work for the SBA. The $349 billion in loans that Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is hoping to move quickly through the program is 12 times the $28.1 billion in loans the SBA approved in all of fiscal 2019. According to budget documents, the SBA approved 58,000 loans through its main program in the most recent fiscal year. That was even 16% short of its target figure. Millions of small businesses could apply for the Paycheck Protection Program tomorrow alone. Meanwhile, some of the country's biggest banks worry that the program poses too much legal and financial risk and have threatened not to participate. Hang on. Speaking of banks, there is this. U.S. borrowers seeking a reprieve from mortgage, auto, or credit card payments because of the coronavirus hardships are not getting the help they expected from big banks that promised assistance in recent weeks. JPMorgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup are among lenders that announced programs to help customers whose income had suddenly dropped because of illness, layoffs, or government-imposed business closures. But fine print can prevent customers from getting assistance. That according to borrowers and bank sources. For instance, lenders offering a 90-day forbearance on mortgage payments are limited in how they can structure help for customers whose loans are owned by investors. Mortgage bondholders are still requiring monthly payments even if borrowers do not pay. Banks have been willing to foot the bill for a few months, but will ultimately need cooperation from those same investors. Some customers are finding that they are expected to write a big check as soon as the grace period ends rather than having missed payments tacked on to the end of the loan. Wells Fargo is offering 3-month payment suspensions to any mortgage borrower who requests it. But what happens afterward depends on who owns the loan and the customer's particular issues. With over 10 million people out of work in the past 2 weeks, and by the way, that's the biggest number since data gathering started back in 1967, with that many people out of work, things are starting to get on edge when it comes to rent payments. Consider this story about a landlord that thought that they were getting ahead of the curve. Saturn Management is a property management company in Los Angeles, and it sent an email to tenants saying that they are still required to pay rent. But the message, well, it backfired. Instead of being sent as a blind carbon copy or BCC to each tenant, which would then keep them anonymous from each other, the email was sent to the group collectively. And that meant that all 300 tenants had each other's contact information. And, of course, the email chain offered a venue for them to complain about health and safety issues across the 24 properties the company owns. And now the tenants have started to organize a rent strike, which could begin in May. They're communicating in group chats and on shared documents where they collect further complaints about the properties. Ford Motor Company joined Fiat Chrysler and other major automakers in reporting double-digit declines in first-quarter U.S. vehicle sales as consumers shelter in place and dealerships close. Today, Ford reported its sales fell 12.5% through March compared to a year ago. The decline is larger than the company's crosstown rivals, however, still lower than the roughly 15% slide expected for the overall industry. Now, March is typically the highest sales month for the first quarter, with many sales coming at the end of the month as automakers offer additional discounts. However, the coronavirus and states enacting stay-at-home or shelter-in-place orders has significantly disrupted dealers from selling vehicles. But some dealers are taking the initiative and having salespeople deliver several cars to buyers so they can make a choice and picking up and delivering vehicles that need service. Today we learned that Amazon plans to roll out temperature checks and face masks for staffers at all of its U.S. and European warehouses, plus Whole Foods stores by early next week. It's all in an effort to stem a growing sense of fear among thousands of employees. The company, which had reported virus cases among warehouse staff and faced several demonstrations, said it would start testing hundreds of thousands of employees a day for fever. It told Reuters it would use no-contact forehead thermometers at site entrances and send anyone home registering more than 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit. All locations will have surgical masks available by early next week after millions were ordered weeks ago. Particle-blocking N95 masks it has ordered will instead be donated to medical workers or sold at cost to government and healthcare organizations. Well, stocks ended higher today, led by oil's biggest one-day rally on record. All of that even after a massive spike in unemployment claims added to concerns over the coronavirus and its impact on the economy. The Dow closed up 469 points, or 2.2%, at 21,413. The S&P 500 was up by 2.3%, closing at 2526, while the NASDAQ climbed 1.7% and ended the day at 7487. At its session high, the Dow was up 534 points, or more than 2%. Today, President Donald Trump told CNBC's Joe Kernan he spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, adding that he expects both countries to cut production in oil by about 10 million barrels. Those comments sent U.S. crude prices up 24% for their best session on record. There were, however, concerns that both countries would follow through on production cuts of that magnitude. Traders have been closely watching oil because of its influence over other financial markets. The oil losses have been so big that they've caused investors to sell other assets to cover their losses in crude. Plus, the 63% decline in oil this year is hurting the U.S. shale industry, and that's a big driver of the economy and of employment. And finally, there is this. All of what happened on Wall Street today seems to ignore what the Fed today said. And what was that? Well, the Fed said the United States is officially in a recession. How long it will last will depend on the course of a viral pandemic that could kill hundreds of thousands of Americans and has most of the country under lockdowns. Fed officials today said that how quickly the world's biggest economy will recover will depend on how much aid the government gives and how effectively aid can be used to stem what are already millions of job losses. Here's what Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank President Neel Kashkari said today. Quote, "One thing we know from 2008, when you had millions and millions and millions of Americans losing their jobs, it took more than a decade to put the labor market back together. I'm really pleased that a lot of the action by the federal government and state governments has been focusing on trying to keep workers in their jobs, end quote. Kashkari was referring to the new $350 billion Paycheck Protection Program that's going to be rolled out tomorrow to provide small businesses with grants to keep their workers on the payroll. At issue, of course, is will it be so overwhelming that the SBA can't get to all of the requests? We'll be finding that out. The program, by the way, is a key part of the $2.2 trillion coronavirus rescue package that was passed by Congress last week. In the past 2 weeks, 10 million Americans have filed for unemployment insurance, a figure that Kashkari called shocking and disturbing. His wife, who works at a corporate travel management company, is among the legions of newly jobless Americans. If employees remain attached to their former jobs, he said, the recovery may be faster because companies will be able to restart more quickly. However, if businesses cannot reopen and cannot keep their employees on the payroll, you will see thousands of businesses going through bankruptcies, and that would lead to a much longer and more shallow recovery. I wish I had better news for you today. And that's a wrap. For all of us at the Business News Headlines, our program director is Chap Ramsey. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted exclusively for the Business News Headlines by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a good day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.